forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As we covered the few verses this morning, Romans 1:18-23, we're going to pick up here at verse 24 as we continue learning about the wrath of God that's revealed. Remember, God's wrath is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of mankind. People don't have a head problem with God. They have a heart problem with God. God has revealed himself first through our conscience and then through creation. And ultimately, he's revealed himself through his word. His word, both in the written word that he's preserved for us in the Bible, but also the living word who he sent from heaven, Christ, the bread of life, the living water, who came into this world and died for our sins and rose again. So he's revealed himself. Then the rejection of man, remember, people are unthankful, unthinking, unenlightened, and unwise to reject God, to suppress the truth in their unrighteousness. And then what happens is God gives them over to a reprobate mind. He gives them over. So we saw that here when he says this over and over. He gave them over. Points back to Psalm 81, which is exactly what happened when God delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage. He delivered them from the slavery and bondage they were in, but they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge, so God gave them up. Okay? And that happens to people today. God is trying to give them light. He's trying to give them truth. He's trying to give them blessing, but they reject God, and so God will ultimately give people up if they reject his goodness. So God at times gives people over to their wickedness because of their foolish rebellion. They change the truth of God into a lie. They worship and serve the creature more than the creator, the one who is blessed forever. Amen. And you may say to me tonight, because I mentioned this morning that they became idolatrous fools, you may say, well, there's not really idolatry like that today. Like, people aren't making statues and worshiping those statues. Number one, that's just simply not true. People are still doing that today. Idolatry covers the earth. But even here where we have more of a humanistic, secularistic society completely deceived by Darwinian evolution to reject the truth of God in his creation, people still have idols. They just don't look like golden calves. Anything you love more, serve more, fear more than God, or value more than God is an idol. And so when we can be guilty of idolatry even as believers. And certainly those who are without God and without Christ in this world are guilty of idolatry. There are things that they love, things that they worship, things that they serve, things that they fear more than God, and they are idols to them. So God gives us this progression of those who reject God, and you see it here. Look at verse 24 again. God first gave them up to uncleanness. He gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. And the creator is blessed forever. Amen. No matter what mankind does, God is blessed forever. But there are people right here in our community who value creatures more than they value the creator. As some of you have seen the video, Ray Comfort asking people if their neighbor and their dog were both drowning in the swimming pool and they only had time to save one, would they save their own personal pet or would they save their neighbor? And you may think it's funny, but it's really tragic. Most of them asked this question, which neighbor? But they weren't joking. And a lot of people would let their neighbor drown before they would let their animal drown. People love the creation more than they love the creator and those who are made in his image. That's a reality of the world that we live in today. So God gives them up to uncleanness. God gives them over to wickedness. He gives them over to the lust of their own hearts. And the very fact that people are consuming themselves with fulfilling the lust of their hearts, the lust and desires of their flesh, is in itself judgment from God. So when it says that God gave them up, what that means is God has a restraining force in this world today where he holds people back. And you may look at the world and say, I can't believe how bad it is. But if God wasn't restraining people, it would be even worse. But when you see people completely given over to the lust of their hearts, the desires of their flesh, then you see that God is giving nations over to judgment. And friends, I believe that if you just go back a few decades in our country and you see the sexual revolution and you see that free love society that our nation had, that was a beginning of judgment for a nation. You guys with me right now? Because I need to know you're with me, because I'm going to try to keep this King James tonight. But there's a lot of real hard truth here. And just to be frank, there's a lot of real disgusting things here. So I need to know that you understand what we're talking about, so I don't have to be more detailed than I need to be in this setting, okay? Fair enough? God gave them up to uncleanness. Next, notice verse 26, for this cause, because they worshiped the creation more than the Creator, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. In other words, they got what they asked for. Now, just to be clear, this is homosexuality. This is lesbianism and homosexuality. That's what this is. There are some really intelligent people today. You can just ask them. They'll tell you how smart they are. And they will try to do biblical gymnastics to make these two verses mean something else. But God's word could not be more plain than what it is right here. There are pastors in churches who are twisting the scriptures to try to make this say something else. And friends, you can drive by the church, you can see the gay pride flag outside the building and all the rest of it that you want to. And I want you to understand clearly that these things are vile affections according to the word of God. Now hear me plainly. Does that mean that God doesn't love lesbians, or God doesn't love gay people, or God doesn't love transsexuals? No, that doesn't mean that at all. And if we love them the way God wants us to love them, then we're going to tell them the truth. And the truth is that they're sinners like everybody else, and they need to repent and be saved. Everybody with me? Okay. God gave them up to these vile affections. You could just go ahead and insert all the letters of the LGBTQ plus and whatever else they have now. I know that we're live streaming right now. Facebook and YouTube have this. I'm sure we'll get canceled at some point. And I would be labeled a bigot tonight. And this would be called hate speech. And I would be called some kind of phobe. But tonight, I fear God. And I want those who are living in vile affections to come to the fear of God. I want them to repent and come to faith in Christ. And I want our church to understand this. I know some of you, the way you grew up, you look at certain sins as worse than others. But you deserve death just as much as anybody else with a different flavor of sin. You get that, right? You say, well, I hear you, preacher, but I'm just that thing. Listen, you deserve death just as much. Our sin and rebellion makes us guilty before God. And you, if you are alive in Christ tonight, it's because you turned from your sin to faith in Jesus. And that's exactly what anybody else needs. But there is a progression here. God gave them first up to uncleanness. This is the lust of the hearts of mankind, those things that are natural lusts, natural desires, we might say. But it moves on from there to things that are unnatural. There's a progression. Next, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So it moves from, instead of from faith to faith, it moves from wickedness to wickedness. It moves from unrighteousness to unrighteousness. And whereas when you come to God by faith, he'll grow you in that faith, from faith to faith. If you reject God and you rebel against God, it's going to move from wickedness to wickedness. It's going to get worse and worse. It's not just going to set at one level of wickedness. It's going to continue a downward spiral into all kinds of unimaginable wickedness. So God gave them over then to a reprobate mind. Since they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, God says, fine. If you don't want to believe in me, if you don't want to keep me in your mind, if you want to reject me and my light and my truth and my righteousness, then you can have your wickedness and God will completely remove all restraint. And what happens? Look at it. They're filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. They are full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And so God gave them up to uncleanness. God gave them up to vile affections. And finally, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And he removes all restraint and allows them to go into their completely godless life. And they become filled with these things: unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, and maliciousness. And maliciousness is just that. It's just malice. It's just wicked, evil hate. And then they become full of envy and murder and debate and deceit and malignity. Listen, I read, I heard about a book that was written in the 70s. This was by a medical examiner in New York in the 70s. And he said that he had done over 60,000 autopsies at that time. I can't even fathom that. I mean, how many murders, how many deaths that he had gone through in his career? And he said within 10 seconds of looking at a body, he could tell if that person had been murdered by a homosexual or not. I'm not saying this. I'm saying what he said, and this was in the 70s. He said because they were so passionate that it was always overkill. Always overkill. Now, I thought that was crazy to hear when I heard it. But I want you to consider this. When God gives somebody over to their passions, and they're consumed with unnatural passions, that carries over into everything, and look at it. Now, I can already hear people. Are you saying every homosexual is a murderer? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when God gives you over to a reprobate mind, it doesn't end. It continues. Those passions in that fulfilling of the desires of the flesh, it never stops. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you is there's no limit to the depravity of mankind without the grace of God. And when you abandon God's grace, there is no limit to our depravity. Inventors of evil things. Can you just stop and consider that statement for a second? Isn't there enough evil things? Aren't there enough wickednesses in this world today? Isn't there enough bad in the world today? Isn't there enough malice in the world today? And yet people become inventors of evil things. People are still coming up with more ways to do wicked things today. That's hard to fathom, isn't it? And then look at what he says. Having pleasure. Like, not only do they do these things, but they have pleasure in them that do them. They have pleasure not only in doing the wicked things that they do, but they want other people to do wicked things with them. And not only that, they enjoy seeing other people do wicked things. You hearing me right now? Some of the most horrible things that I've ever heard have ever been done on this planet have been done to children, and they've been videoed by people because they not only take pleasure in doing those wicked things, they want to see those wicked things done. And all of this starts because people don't like to retain God in their knowledge, because they suppress the truth in their unrighteousness. And you may say tonight, I would never, but listen to me, friend, only by the grace of God are you where you are now and not there. It's only by the grace of God. And I look at this chapter, and I know, listen, the chapters and verses, men set that up to divide it out so we could study it easier. But this section of Scripture, how it all fits together, I just want you to see that. Praise God for the first half of this chapter. Because if I just had the second half of this chapter, I don't know that I could take it. I'm glad that Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, starts with the good news. He lets us know the good news. The good news is that even though we're depraved, even though we're wicked, even though we're evil, even though we have these lusts and desires, even though we're all sinners, Christ still loved us and he still died for us anyway. And he wants to deliver everyone from this wickedness, and he offers that light and salvation to anyone who will believe. So thank God for the gospel. And you remember the verses right before this? Verses 16 and 17, you remember that? I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Aren't you thankful? No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, God's love and God's grace and God's mercy are enough for you to be saved. I've met people who say, well, pastor, preacher, You just don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. The blood of Jesus is enough to save anyone. He saved me, and he'll save anyone who believes. I want to remind you tonight that now is the time of salvation. Not tomorrow, today. And if you've never trusted Christ, now is the time to trust in him. We don't want to suppress his truth and unrighteousness. And I want to make this clear one more time, because some of the times I've in this section 18 to 32, I've tried to make some application, these principles to us. And I think there are principles that apply to us. But if you're saved, this isn't you. If you're saved, this isn't you. Now, can we quench the spirit and do some of those things? Yes. But this isn't us. This isn't those in Christ. This is those who reject Christ. But God forbid we would ever do anything that even closely resembles. How can we, who are dead to sin, live any longer therein? If Christ is in you, he's going to change your life from the inside out. Let's pray together.